Is that better? It doesn't sound any different to me, but there we go. It's probably my age. Oh, that's better, yeah. Oh, hang on.
Any future preachers, can I just say, don't wear thermal if you're speaking on a Sunday, okay?
Doesn't particularly help. Oh, I say, thank you, Sharon.
Okay, where was I?
Yeah. Now, I do particularly want to thank you all for that, but also particularly Alan and Alison
for the amount of work they put in. I mean, it is run excellent. There is not 1 minute.
I was surprised it even said when you ate your biscuit. No, it wasn't quite as good as that, but every minute is covered for that week, and it needs to be with young children because they need to have the order of the week. But so I just want to say thanks to you two particularly for everything that you've put in. So we can clap. Okay, we're following on the theme from the week that we've been in, and you saw all those photos earlier. Well, I've taken one earlier this week, which I won't tell you how many steps were on the ladder, but I was quite high up when I took it. Okay, so. But we've had this connection with Searchlight, and the week's been Waste Watchers, and it's been looking at the world that we live in, God's world, and how we can make that a better place to live in. And the text is that which they've sung and they've spoken this week, which comes, as Alan said, from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And, you know, as the earth is the Lord's, we, as people on this earth, all of us are called to be stewards and caretakers of what God has created. God has given us the earth to look after. So we're sort of on a leasehold with the earth. We're renting it, we're leasing it from God. Psalm 115 says, the heavens belong to the Lord, but he has given the earth to all humanity. And wouldn't it be fine if the earth that we've been given was like that picture? If it was all beautiful, if it was all lovely. Unfortunately, and you have to forgive the pun, but a lot of the earth that we live in is actually rubbish. The state of it is actual rubbish. Whether it's on land, whether it's on sea, whether it's at the coast. To be honest, as humans, we've made a right mess of it. But our actions don't just have consequences to the landscape. It's to wildlife also. They are affected by the rubbish that is around us. In many ways, we try to deal with that rubbish as best we can, as we've seen in this last week. And we try and recycle it the best we can and come up with initiative ideas to recycle it. But I imagine future generations' reaction to how we have cared for this planet will be, because it is a rotten world that we live in. And, you know, as much as this must sadden God about the state that this world is in, it is something much worse and serious in this world that grieves him even more. And that's the state of us, the state of people within this world that we live in. What's wrong with the world? A newspaper editorial said on its front page. And one of its readers wrote back in and said, I am. That's a bit funny. Then he went and said, no, I am what's wrong with this world. And it's true. What's wrong with this world is what's wrong with everyone in it. And it's called sin. Whether we want to admit that or not. You know, many people don't recognise themselves as sinners. They might think they occasionally do wrong, but they don't see that as a sin against God. And as we know, some people don't even believe in God. So they definitely don't think that they're sinners. They may think they've made a mistake, but they've certainly not sinned against anyone. This is just the life we live in. And yet, we only have to look around, don't we, to see what a mess and a state this world is in, and the human race is in. And that's a consequence of the effect of sin that's within this planet that we live. Let alone what that sin has done to our relationship with God. Paul tells us this in Romans 3:23. And all these texts I'm going to put up are from a Bible called the Message Bible, which is, just means it's in more contemporary language than maybe some of the other versions that we use. It says, "Since we compile this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us." And what Paul said all those centuries ago still stands today. We are still, as a human race, incapable of living the glorious lives that God has willed us and wanted us to live. So how is that so? How is it that we've all sinned? We're all regarded by God to have sinned. Well, I want to read you an illustration, and hopefully it will help us understand how we are all born into sin. On 11th of May 2000, a lady found a new email message on her computer which simply said, "I love you." It's nice, isn't it? Yeah. It looked innocent enough, perhaps even romantic. Like most of us would, she clicked to open the message, and the so-called love bug was born. With lightning speed, it raced around the world, bringing politics and businesses to a halt. It was a deadly computer virus that caused millions of computer software programs to crash. One virus, but so much contamination. But it's not the first time that a single virus has caused such grief to mankind. In fact, it's the kind of replay of a deadlier virus that hit planet Earth more than 6,000 years ago, polluting the first human couple, Adam and Eve. Despite God's warning not to click on Satan's message, they did so with appalling consequences for them, and through them to all mankind. That virus is called sin. And this is why Isaiah says to us in the Old Testament, he says, we're all sin infected, sin contaminated. Our best efforts are greasy, stained rags. We dry up like autumn leaves, sin-dried. We're blown off by the wind. There's a dermatologist called Michael Kuhlman, and he issues a warning to those of us in this country, which some of you might find this next fact quite hard to believe, but who constantly strive to have golden brown tans. Now, some of you might think we don't have enough sun for that. But there are people who strive to have tans that make them look beautiful. But he says, "Today's deeply tanned beauties are tomorrow's wrinkled prunes." I would say you'd have to be careful where he said that, because he's a very brave man. But, you know, it's no different in thinking about sin. Sin is kind of like getting a suntan. It may look great today, it may be fun or exciting today, but tomorrow's a different story. The dictionary says that sin is a transgression, an evil, a violation of accepted morale. And it's also been said about sin that it's a lack of conformity to the character of God. Sin is a hopelessly incurable disease of the soul. Sin is rebellion against God. And sin is the opposite of holiness of God and of morality. That's quite strong words, isn't it? But sin is a serious business. A sign above an unreliable clock read, "Don't blame my hands, the trouble lies deeper." And, you know, that's not dissimilar to sin. When we sin with our hands, when we speak bad names, words, we must understand that the problem actually is deeper. Sin is a pollution, and it causes pollution in the heart. That's where it starts. And not unlike this polluted world that we live in, each of us needs to be cleansed. cleansed from our sins in order that we can live the life that God intended us to live and to be used by him. It's as simple as that. And that's not difficult, is it? Yeah, it is. It's a hard task to perform. Overcoming sin is not easy. And you know, we can't do it on our own. But if we can acknowledge these three steps that we're going to look at in regards to cleansing, then we can live in the freedom of knowing freedom from sin and death. We can live lives that are not polluted. So would you like to look at these three steps? That's good, because we'd be going for tea otherwise. Okay, the first one is the person of cleansing. Matthew 8, 1-3 says this: Jesus came down the mountain with cheers of the crowd still ringing in his ears. Remember, this is the message, okay? This is not the NIV. Then a leper appeared and went to his knees before Jesus, praying, "Master, if you want to, you can heal my body." Jesus reached out and touched him, saying, "I want to. Be clean." Then and there, all signs of the leprosy were gone. And you know, we're infected with a form of leprosy if we don't know Jesus, and that's called sin. And hopefully, like that leper, we would all want to be clean and free from the effects that sin has in our lives. One thing is sure, just as in these verses, Jesus is willing and able. In fact, Jesus is very willing to make anyone clean. And he proved that through his actions on the cross. It says in Hebrews 9, "If that animal blood and the other rituals of purification were effective in cleaning up certain matters of our religion and behaviour," and that's talking about from when the Old Testament, when they went through the rituals for their sins through offering that pure and spotless animal, "think how much more the blood of Christ cleanse up our whole lives inside and out. Through the Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all these dead-end effects to make ourselves respectable so that we can live all out for God." You know, a man of over 90 years old came up to the preacher at the end of the sermon. And the preacher said, "My old friend," he said, "do you love Jesus?" And his deeply furrowed brow lit up as his face went into a smile. 67 years of discipleship had imparted and came out in that smile as he grasped the preacher's hand. And he said, "Oh yes, but I can tell you something better than that." "And what's that?" said the preacher. He said, "Jesus loves me." No matter how much we love the Lord, he loves us more. He loves all people. And most of all, he's consistent in his love. He's not human, thank God. We won't find or see another love like Jesus's on this earth. He went to the cross so we could be forgiven and cleansed of our sins. He is the person of cleansing. He is the one person who can cleanse us from all our sins and the pollution that that brings. No human person can absolve sin. Jesus is the only person who can do that for anyone. The second process of cleansing is the process of cleansing. A little boy came running in to the house after playing outside. His mother stopped and said, "What's that on your right hand?" "Oh, just a little mud," he said. His mother asked him how he was planning on getting it off his hand. He thought deeply for a moment and then he said, "I'll wipe it with the other hand." Now, the only problem with that plan is one dirty hand plus one clean hand makes two dirty hands. And you know, that's not unlike us. Initially, we are cleansed from sin when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, when we surrender to him in faith and obedience. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all our wrongdoings. So what happens if we sin again after we've given our life to Jesus? Well, it's a bit like that boy. We can try and deal with it ourselves and end up with dirty hands again. Or we can bow our heads wherever we are, confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. Jesus cleans the dirty hand again for us. Because our relationship with him involves a process. It's not a one-off. We're in a process of growing with him, but also a process of being cleansed from our sins, from inside out. Because it's a matter of the heart, and Jesus works in the heart. How are you at making New Year's resolutions? There's a mumbling going on. Does this sound familiar? In 2006, I said, and it's not me, this is just an illustration. I said I would get my weight down to 80 kilos. In 2007, I said I would watch my calories so they don't go above 90 kilos. In 2008, I said I will follow my new diet religiously until I get below 100 kilos. In 2010, I decided that I will work out 5 days a week. In 2011, I decided that I would work out for 3 days a week. And in 2012, I decided I would try and drive past the gym at least once a week. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. You know, many people make resolutions that will never keep. You name it, and we promise to do it, but we seldom do. We all have good intentions, but they don't become good actions. And why is that? Because they all deal with the outside aspect of our lives and not the heart issues. If we don't get the heart right, we won't get the actions right. Jesus is the only person that can change our heart actions. He is the process that he takes us through. And it's a process of the heart, not of our good intentions. Then the final purpose of cleansing is the purpose. Have I said that before? Process. No, process, no purpose. Sorry, is a purpose of cleansing. 2 Timothy 2 says this. In a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste cans and compost buckets. This is the Message version. In the NIV, it might slightly be different wording, okay, but the emphasis is the same. Some containers used to serve fine meals, others to take out the garbage. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guest for their blessing. So we've looked at the person, we've looked at the process, and now there's a purpose to cleansing. The process of preparation is that we have to go through is in every day of our lives. But it has purpose in that we would become the sort of container that God could readily use. Several centuries ago, a Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to paint a bird. A number of months passed, then several years, and still no painting. So the emperor was so exasperated, he thought, I'm going to go see this artist and find out what's going on. And instead of making excuses when he arrived at the house, the artist put the canvas on the easel, and within an hour, he painted the painting. And it was a brilliant masterpiece. And the emperor said, well, ask the reason why. Why was there such a delay? And with that, the artist went to a cupboard and got out all these different drawings of birds, of heads, of feet, of wings. And he explained that all the research and study had been necessary before he could complete the painting. That's good preparation, is it not, for doing good work? And can we do no less when it comes to serving God? Only our preparation starts with the cleansing in our hearts. Before God can even use anyone, we must first be cleansed from our sin. But the great news is, God doesn't use perfect people. Now, this might come as a shock, because there aren't any. But he doesn't use filthy, dirty people either. You know, we live in a polluted world, but we don't have to live with polluted lives. Do you truly long to be perfectly whole? Cleansed from all your sin? I do. Because this is what the Lord desires of us. And it's the only way he's able to make something of us and use us in his kingdom. It's why he sent Jesus, the person who enables us to be cleansed from our sins. It's a cleansing process that outworks from our hearts. Because with God, there is purpose to our cleansing. And listen, when God cleanses you from your sins, you're not then like some recycled piece of junk. Do you believe that? Do you know that? During the late 1800s, an English evangelist named Henry Morehouse made several trips to preach in America. On one occasion, he was taking a walk through a poor section of town when he noticed a small boy coming out of a store with a pitcher of milk in his hands. Just as the young lad came out, he slipped. And not only did he spill the milk, but he broke his pitcher as well. Morehouse rushed to the child's side and found him unhurt but terrified. "My mama will whip me," he said, "because I've broken the pitcher and I've lost the milk." So as the boy kept crying, Morehouse picked him up. You can tell this is in the 1800s. You'd have to fill out a form before you could do that now, mister. And several other, but anyway, he picked him up. He carried him to the nearby store. He bought him a new pitcher. He took him back to the dairy. He had the pitcher washed out and he had it filled with milk, and he carried both the pitcher, the milk, and the boy to his house. When he got there, he put the boy down on the front porch and he handed him the pitcher, and he asked the little boy, "Will your mama whip you now?" And a wide smile came across the boy's tear-stained face, and he said, "No, sir, because this is a lot better pitcher than we've had before." And you know, in grace, God saves us. He doesn't patch our old lives up that have been shattered by sin and Satan into a million pieces, because that would not do. His reputation is at stake. We are his workmanship. No, when Jesus cleanses us of our sins, we are like new creations. We're not a recycled picture. We're not stuck back together. We are new creations. And for us then starts the process and the purpose of coming in to his kingdom. I'd like the worship guys to come back up, please. We're going to sing. And I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to sing, and then I'm going to give you opportunity. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your friend, as your Lord, as your Saviour. Maybe you'd like to know more about him. Now, I'm going to ask you to do a big thing in a minute. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. But I'm also want to talk to those who know Jesus as a friend, as a Lord, as a Saviour. Are you sitting here this morning feeling you've got a dirty hand? Don't try and rub it and deal with it yourself, because you'll end up in even more of a mess. We all at times need to come and know the cleansing power of our Lord and Saviour, so that we don't end up with two dirty hands, that we are actually cleansed again. You know, God doesn't punish us, he loves us. And it's only by his grace that I stand here this morning. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that tells you that other people are perfect and it's only you. That's not true. So Matt, could you start doing what you do? Thank you. So I want us to close our eyes. Yeah, Lord. I want to ask first, if you don't know Jesus this morning, but you want to know more about him, that you can actually see that in this mess of a world we live in, there is a hope. There is daylight. There is a way out of the life that you may be living. And his name is Jesus. I want you to stick your hand up if you want to know more about this man that walked this earth more than 2,000 years ago. Okay. Now this is where the rest of us have to be brave and feel safe in family. Because it could be one Sunday that I'm sticking my hand up. Okay, we're not safe and we're not 100% because of our titles or our roles. We are all human. So if you know your hand feels dirty this morning. You know that there's some issue in your life that you just need God to cleanse you for. I'd like you to stick your hand up. Okay, thank you. Thank you.